I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, and I hope some of the information today will be useful to you. My first guest is Dr. Richard Vincent, a graduate of the Chiropractic Institute of New York, who is currently the president of Integrated Healthcare Practice Resources and past president of the Practice Resource Group, a management organization. He is past president of the Society of Chiropractic Management Consultants and also served as the president and CEO of Spine Management Care Network and as clinical director of chiropractic services for Triad Healthcare Incorporated. Dr. Vincent introduced the Graston technique, a form of instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization, to the chiropractic profession in 2001. He has integrated the technique at the college and university levels for chiropractors and directs a cadre of instructors who teach the technique in seminars throughout the world. In his profession, he has served as president of the Massachusetts Chiropractic Society, chairman of the Massachusetts Board of Chiropractic Examination and Registration, president of the Federation of Chiropractic Licensing Boards, and president of the National Board of Chiropractic Examiners. He has also been active in the community, serving as chairman of the Board of Trustees of the North Shore Community College and on the Board of Directors of the Beverly Savings Bank. He has been a member and vice chairman of the Governor's Committee on Mental Retardation for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and is currently a member of the Citizens Advisory Board Department of Mental Retardation in Hyannis, Massachusetts. In 2005, Dr. Vincent was awarded the George Arvidsson Award for Excellence in Chiropractic Regulation and Public Protection by the Federation of Chiropractic Licensing Board. In 2006, he was awarded an honorary Doctorate of Law degree from National University of Health Sciences. He has published articles dealing with practice management and the ethical delivery of chiropractic care. More information is available at www.grastontechnique.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, and I look forward to hearing how you work with patients with chronic back pain. First, what is the Graston technique?
Well, Graston technique is an instrument-assisted soft tissue technique where the application of specifically designed stainless steel instruments designed to conform to the various body formations is first applied to determine if there are restrictions or fibrotic changes in the soft tissues, which we describe as muscle, tendons, ligaments. Mm-hmm. And by determining where these restrictions are located, we're then able to apply the instruments in a therapeutic fashion to break up those restrictions. Mm-hmm. And through the use of first preparing the tissue with heat to soften it, mm-hmm. then applying the instruments diagnostically, and then applying them in a therapeutic way, we're able to restore function and most often reduce the pain or the discomfort that the patient may have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The application of the technique goes just beyond low back pain, which we all know is pretty much an epidemic disease in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But it also can be used in the management of extremity problems, the shoulders, the elbows, the wrist, like carpal tunnel,
mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It requires that the patient be an active participant in their care, in that we have the patient doing certain kinds of stretches using ice or heat when appropriate. And so it's really a form of active, what I like to refer to as active rather than passive care, where the clinician does it all and the patient does nothing. And in order to have good recovery, it does require the patient's participation.
Now, you said that this will help reduce the pain. And how often do they have to come back for this, or does this take care of it permanently? Or
well, quite often, the patient will begin to see subjectively. That is what they feel. That may be pain or discomfort. It may be restricted motion. Generally, by the second or the third application at the most, there will be strong evidence of improvement. The average number of visits that are made, and I'm using this only as in a generic kind of a way, is approximately seven. And there are clinicians that are trained in the technique, some well in excess of 5,000 clinicians now. Those clinicians may be chiropractors, physical therapists, occupational therapists, certified athletic trainers, and in some instances, physicians, MDs, or doctors of osteopathy. And the technique is principally in the United States and Canada, but there's rapidly developing interest in the technique throughout the world, Europe in particular, and Australia, and very much the Far East.
Now, Derek, would you repeat the conditions that can be treated by this technique?
Generally, conditions such as sprains or strains that may relate to the spine, certain degenerative changes, osteoarthritis, quite often will respond to the technique in that we're able to give the patient some facilitation of movement and pain reduction. And so we're looking at things like tennis elbow, for example, which is called an epicondylosis, the various rotator cuff problems that exist in the shoulder. The technique has an excellent clinical track record with plantar fasciitis, that painful condition that we often associate with the soles of the foot. And I could name a number of other conditions as well, but that pretty much covers the soft tissue problems that may exist with the joints of the body and the upper lower extremities and the spine.
Now, we usually think of the chiropractor or the physical therapist and all using their hands. And do they also use their hand, or is this in place of?
Yes, they do it. As a matter of fact, the genesis, the beginning of Graston technique, really goes back to Cyriax, who was a renowned orthopedist from Great Britain, who discovered that cross-friction massage was able to resolve many of the conditions that he encountered as an orthopedist. And physical therapists and chiropractors historically treated these conditions, these soft tissue conditions, by using their hands to detect those soft tissue restrictions and then to go ahead and treat them. And what had happened over the years, and I can speak for myself, it almost became an occupational hazard in that if we used our hands frequently throughout the course of the day with numbers of patients coming through our offices, we ultimately developed degenerative changes in the hand and the wrist so that the lifespan, if you will, of our hands became somewhat limited. And when they developed Graston technique, one of the great benefits from it was that, A, the clinician was able, by nature of the stainless steel and the design of the instruments, they were able to get in deeper into the tissue than they could with their hands, and that the fibrotic changes in the tissue would reverberate through the stainless steel, and the clinician could feel that reverberation in his or her hands, just as the patient would feel it. And what they found was that they could treat the patient more effectively, more specifically, with better outcomes than they could have gotten with their hands. Now, that isn't to say that the hands are disregarded, because the hands are so important in feeling the texture of the tissue, feeling the temperature, if you will, of the tissue, all of the things that only the hands can do. But there is a real awakening interest in the technique, primarily for patient benefit, but also the clinicians are finding that they're adding some life to their hands.
Well, this is interesting. Now, are there other things that you would like to say about the Graston technique before we look at your services and how?
Yeah, what I would probably suggest is that you probably haven't tried everything, if you will, until you've given an opportunity for Graston technique to demonstrate its benefit. As I said earlier on, patients should begin to feel the difference, if you will, within 2 to 3 visits. So that someone with a chronic problem should minimally try to participate in some clinical trial. And I look at a clinical trial of at least 4 or 5 treatments. It may well be worth their effort.
Now, Dick, can you tell us about services or products you offer and how the listeners can reach you?
Actually, the public can go to our website, which is www.grastontechnique.com, all one word, and Graston Technique is G-R-A-S-T-O-N, Technique, T-E-C-H-N-I-Q-U-E. Once again, www.grastontechnique.com. And they should be able to get a lot of information on the website, as well as a directory of clinicians throughout the United States and Canada who would be well qualified to consider scheduling an appointment with.
Well, I appreciate this very much. I'm sure it's going to be helpful to the listeners, and I found it interesting.
Well, I'm sure, and I thank you very much for the opportunity to speak on behalf of the technique, and I look forward to the benefit that many folks may derive from this.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. My second guest is Ms. Ginger Garner, who holds a master's degree in physical therapy and has advanced studies in yoga and yoga therapy and certification in Pilates, Ayurveda, and studies in spinal manual therapy, music and sound therapy, and women's health. She is founder of Professional Yoga Therapy Studies and developer of the Professional Yoga Therapy and Elementary Renewal Methods of Rehabilitation. She has written and teaches continuing education courses across the United States on treating lumbopelvic sacroiliac joint pain, is founder and executive director of a school that exclusively certifies licensed healthcare professionals to practice alternative rehabilitation methods in yoga therapy. And she has had tremendous success treating patients with these methods. She has a DVD available, and more information is available at www.gingergarner.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Ginger, and I look forward to hearing how you use your background in physical therapy and yoga to help patients with chronic back pain. Now, first, tell me about your background briefly and how you got involved in pain management.
Okay. Well, I went to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and that's where I earned my master's physical therapy degree. Prior to that, I had spent time in university and high school level athletic training in sports medicine. And during those years, I was also studying yoga and also Pilates. Pilates is very yoga-derived, so I do stay steeped in the yoga philosophy for the majority of my physical therapy practice. But as far as my involvement, literally I looked up one day from being at a private practice in physical therapy that I had started and been at for around 5 years, and I realized I was not only being booked with some of the most complex chronic pain cases, but that those patients were coming from as far as 3 hours away, 6 hour round trip, being treated for chronic pain. And to me, the most astonishing fact, kind of my aha moment, was that I wasn't just using PT. It wasn't just those skills that I had learned in physical therapy school, that I was using yoga combined with PT as well as sound and music therapy and meditation. So that is how I really began to hone in and focus on chronic pain management. Most of that, including low back pain. As you well know, the frequency of low back pain in the United States, we've just about all succumbed to it at one time or other.
Right, right. Well, you'll appreciate this, Ginger. I injured my back about 3 years ago, and I went to physical therapy, and I had two physical therapists that were not very good. In fact, they were making it worse, and they were off one day, and I had this little girl from Elon College in North Carolina. And she said, well, are they doing anything with your trigger points? And I said, no. And she said, well, do you want me to? And I said, yeah, if it'll help. Well, she was great. So I changed the rest of my appointments, and I went with this PT person from Elon College. She was really good, so they must have a great program there.
They do. In fact, then that one's relatively new. North Carolina is very blessed with physical therapy programs and some of the best PT schools in the country.
Then what is your approach to treating individuals with back pain?
Well, from the outside looking in, it looks simple. I started out like most PTs do, and in Western medicine we're very steeped in diagnostic testing and lots of different gadgets, modalities, toys, if you will, the ultrasound and electric stim and a whole host of other modalities. From the outside looking in, if you see my practice, it's virtually an empty room. I do have a plantar massage table because I do soft tissue work and manual therapy. But there's yoga mats and some yoga, what I call yoga toys. I have a toy closet, and it looks very simple. My practice is minimalistic, and that's kind of the point. It's the secret, I think, of the success that I have with teaching patients and educating healthcare professionals on how to use the methods that I have developed. You don't need a whole lot of toys. My biggest tool is combining evidence-based physical therapy, what we know works in rehabilitation, and combining that with kind of bringing yoga into the 21st century. Look at our culture. We're a culture of chair dwellers, rarely getting down onto the floor. So we lose a lot of natural mobility over time. And fortunately, age doesn't have a whole lot to do with that. So I try to encourage my patients when they come in to see me that don't be discouraged. Yes, you have low back pain, but there's so many things that we can work on you know, with you. And so I approach it from a yogic standpoint where the methods that I use, I really have them get onto the yoga mat immediately and start to explore what movement they have available to them. And then I'm also looking at what mobility they have. Flexibility is kind of a misunderstood focus of yoga. I don't really focus a lot on flexibility with yoga. My focus is stability and not mobility. So a lot of people might come to me or hear of yoga and think, wow, that, I don't need that flexibility. That's what hurt me to begin with. Or, you know, for many, many people, they got hurt in yoga to begin with. So my mission is really to teach everyone that yoga can be for everyone and that age has very little to do with it, and that we focus on stability, creating stability within the system, meaning the system of the lumbopelvic region, which is so complex. So that is my main focus, is stability. And then creating a routine for them, a program for them, or sometimes it's called a home exercise program or something like that. But in my holistic focus, I try to take the word exercise out of it because there's so much more to health than just movement.
Right.
I try to create a program for them that's really five-faceted. It includes not only their physical health, but their psycho-emotional well-being, their intellectual well-being, their energetic well-being, and their spiritual well-being, so that they have a well-rounded program that, that they like, that they enjoy. Because no matter how many things I may give them to do, if they don't enjoy it, then it's all lost. So I really try to get to know the person and create something that works for them.
Then, Ginger, how do you get your patients?
In the beginning, it's all word of mouth now. In the beginning, I worked in various types of physical therapy practice. So hospital, inpatient, outpatient, home health, those types of settings. And over time, it's evolved where when I left quote-unquote conventional practice, conventional physical therapy practice 10 years ago, when I left that 10 years ago, my referrals came through word of mouth. So prior to that, mostly orthopedic surgeons and neurologists because those patients had kind of been through the system. Unfortunately, but unfortunately, they had tried a lot of other therapies and things had not worked. And in our culture, we tend to rely on easy solutions for things and getting rid of pain and back pain is not so easy.
No.
Not taken care of by pharmaceutical means. And so a lot of the time is spent putting them back in charge. And that is really what my motivating drive is putting people back in charge of their health care, back in charge of their body, getting to know themselves again or for the first time.
Now, Ginger, because you're a recognized professional with degrees in physical therapy, are you able to collect insurance with your clients, or do you?
I used to. Yeah, I used to. That's a complex issue in itself. Is the state of our healthcare today, and what in the world can we do to make sure that everybody gets the healthcare we need?
Right.
I've read in many different places, and many different healthcare professionals have the opinion that our healthcare system is not healthcare anymore, it's disease care.
Right.
And part of getting out of the insurance system for me was trying to make sure that everybody got what they needed versus what the insurance company told me that I might have to give them, or limiting the type of treatment or limiting the duration of treatment or the number of visits. So I started out in the insurance system where we did file insurance claims for patients and collected copays and all that, that regular insurance-based business. And then I actually started a fee-for-service business and canceled all of my insurance contracts. So I went into a cash-based situation, if you will. And that actually, although it sounds counterintuitive to helping people, what it did was, especially with chronic pain, in many cases, sometimes I don't want to say it out loud, but it's the truth. Insurance won't cover many chronic pain issues anymore once they get to a certain point. They reach a max. They start denying claims because they are chronic. And I saw that a lot in conventional practice. So you would get to a point where you knew that I knew that the methods that I was developing and using at the time could help them. But they didn't have a choice to actually come see me or not. They couldn't. So that drove me to start, and this is where your area of expertise is in public health. And while I was at UNC, I was able to cross over into the School of Public Health and also study there because that was really what was of great interest to me, was educating the public and letting them know what they can do to garner their own health and get their health back again. So I had this idea, really actually when I was in PT school, about starting a prevention and wellness-oriented, I guess, business or service, if you will, so that everybody has access to a PT at any time. And it was met with kind of raised eyebrows because this kind of thing didn't exist then. Now, I actually started several programs that we have in our area. We now have at our town, which is Emerald Isle, North Carolina, at our town center, community center, I was able to start a medical yoga therapy program there, mm-hmm. so that right off the street you can walk right in, and for, I think it's $7 the charge is now, for $7, mm-hmm. they get to work with a physical therapist, with a medical doctor on therapeutic issues, and most of the time it is chronic mm-hmm. pain issues. Mm-hmm. And these are people on limited budgets. They couldn't possibly afford the $200 out of pocket or $150 right. that right. it might cost to go see a PT, mm-hmm. but $7, and they can go get an hour's worth of, of mm-hmm. not just exercise, but mm-hmm. wellness planning with licensed medical professionals. Mm-hmm. So that's really my vision. And so that's what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
I do still see patients, and I work outside the insurance system,
mm-hmm.
but for about $12 to $15, people can come in and sign up for any of the classes that I have right off the street,
mm-hmm.
and then they actually get to work through their, whatever their issues are, shoulder pain, or it may be depression, not just low back pain. Women's health issues are a big interest for me, for about $12, and they get anywhere from 75 to 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a concept that's worked well.
Great. We need more people like you, Ginger, in the healthcare field. Since they're talking about changing the healthcare system now, do you have mm-hmm. suggestions on what would improve it? Because it is a mess.
It is, and that's an understatement. When I left conventional PT, goodness, it was because I could no longer see patients within that current system
mm-hmm.
the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was helping people. Like I said, they were driving 3 hours. They were being referred as much as 3 hours away,
mm-hmm.
one trip in. But I couldn't do the treatment that I needed. I couldn't give them what they needed because of many limitations.
Right.
Not just insurance, but operating under constraints for that business. Many PTs are forced to see patients every 30 minutes or every 45 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then they're responsible for maybe three patients at a time, so they're having to jump between patients.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see people, I see them for a solid hour, and they only see me. They don't jump around to other people. They come in and see me. But
mm-hmm.
as far as changes to improve healthcare, we have to move away from the curative side, I think. What I mean by that is, when I was at UNC, that was my biggest, I guess that was the thorn in my side, if you will, because everything that we were working through, and UNC is a wonderful school, wonderful program, one of the best PT programs in the country, and I have a great, immense amount of respect for the program there and still do. But one thing that I wanted to see that didn't yet exist, really, was prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I ended up going into the School of Public Health, because I wanted to focus on preventing these things from happening instead of waiting to the point where they needed to be cured. Because quite often, once chronic pain sets in, or chronic condition of any sort, it is very, very hard to manage, and it's hard to resolve it, even harder to resolve it,
right.
much less harder to manage. So if we could shift from this curative-based culture, this disease care, into truly what it should be, and that is healthcare, which it's not, and prevention, preventive care, I think that would go a long way towards improving healthcare, plus being able to put healthcare back in the hands of, and since we're talking about American healthcare,
right.
back into the hands of Americans,
right.
empowering
right.
them, letting them know what their rights are, what their options are. So many patients come in. And this is not just my patients, but my family members, acquaintances, friends come in, and they don't really even know what their options are
mm-hmm.
for healthcare when they go in to see whomever their provider is. And if we don't know what our options are, then we're in a great place of, disadvantage there.
Right.
And that's one thing that I try to do with patients and just students as they come in, off the proverbial street for one of my yoga classes or preventive health classes, is letting them know what their options are. And I tell them, it doesn't matter if you come to see me as a PT or whomever you go to. You know, these are all of your options out in front of you. Should you need surgery? Should you need these different options?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what your condition is, you have options, you have rights. And I don't think the American consumer of healthcare is in a position that they have very many rights or choices right now. It's the illusion of choice. Unfortunately. So I think the American healthcare should shift its paradigm of thinking to prevention and wellness health education rather than just fixing it when it is broken.
Right.
And I think the second thing that could be done is that everyone have access not just to healthcare but holistic healthcare.
Right.
And that's one of the visions of, and I travel across the country to lecture healthcare professionals on how to use yoga in a medical clinical sense,
mm-hmm.
not just for teaching a yoga class, but how would you teach a medical therapeutic yoga class? I think that it would be beautiful if, you know, Americans all over the country could walk into their healthcare professional and they weren't just trained in Western medicine, but it was a holistic approach and
right.
not just of one culture, not just
right.
Chinese medicine, not just Indian medicine or yoga philosophy, but a cross-cultural method of holistic care.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are right now a pharmaceutical-driven medical
right,
model.
Right. That's my big peeve, Ginger, is that people are willing to take these harsh drugs that cause other problems. I don't know of any drug that does not have some side effects, that does not create other problems, or may create other problems. And my belief is that there is probably a natural cure for any problem. It may take a little bit longer, but it's out
right.
there. It's just a matter of, first of all, it's a matter of discovering it, and then it's a matter of allowing these treatments to be recognized and available to the public without interference by the drug companies and the FDA. And I'll give you an example. I'm a 34-year lung cancer survivor. I use Laetril because I was given 6 months to live. So I figured, well, if I'm not going to live, I'm not going to be debilitated for my last 6 months. So I use Laetril. Well, I'm fine. I have no chronic illnesses and no prescribed medications, and I'll be 78 this year. And I survived. But if you look at the textbooks, you'll find Laetril has cyanide in it. It will kill you. Well, didn't kill me, and I know many other people who also took Laetril. So there are natural solutions. I have benign prostatic hypertrophy. I use pomegranate. I use cranberry. I use pumpkin seed. I use natural things so I don't get up during the night as I was before. And I'd rather do this than use Flomax or one of the drugs that have side effects. So I
right.
think that they're out there. But there is a problem getting this information out to the public and getting these natural solutions recognized so that they can be used. So that's one of my pet peeves.
Mm-hmm. There really is. And the wonderful thing about using yoga combined with physical therapy is that it's so conservative. The treatment
right.
is so conservative
right, right.
and can be so successful. And that's why I started professional yoga therapy, which is a continuing education
mm-hmm.
program, to get out there through North America and educate as many healthcare professionals as possible
mm-hmm.
on the wonderful number, the myriad of ways that you can use yoga therapeutically in a medical setting. So
right.
essentially what it is postgraduate continuing education in
mm-hmm.
medical yoga therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've personally trained hundreds of therapists, and that includes physician assistants,
mm-hmm.
nurses.
Mm-hmm.
We've even had a dentist come through the program that wanted to be more holistic and incorporate yoga therapy into his practice, getting out of dentistry and going into medical yoga therapy. So
mm-hmm.
is my idea and my vision to put medical yoga therapy on the front lines of medicine so that instead of pulling out a script for a drug, the script can be pulled out for simple solutions, holistic solutions that before the disease becomes full-blown, before the dysfunction, the illness becomes full-blown, that's when it needs to be taken care of.
Right.
But the American consumer has to know that it's available to them. So my last, I guess, point about improving healthcare in America today would be that Americans have to rise up and take charge and take back their right to be in charge of their own health and healthcare. We've gone through a generation of accepting and I have, you know, the utmost respect for our medical system in the United States. It's how I was trained, and I value that. If I didn't value that, then I would not be a therapist anymore. I would only be teaching yoga, but I value our medical system, the good points of our medical model. However, we have been for a long time accepting anything that a healthcare professional said as verse and absolute truth.
Right.
And I think we have, in doing that, we've long since given up our rights to, you know, our bodies, our health, our chance to stand up and be responsible. And I think that ultimately I just see myself as a facilitator to help put the individual back in charge of their life and their health. And I tell people this all the time. If I've done my job well as a holistic medical professional, as an educator, as a speaker, then I should work myself out of a job.
And see, I think with the drug companies, it's just the opposite. Because a friend of mine from Italy that I interviewed for my New Year's show said, the only way the drug companies make money is if they keep you sick. So they keep you sick. So your philosophy is the opposite of the drug companies, but your philosophy is the right philosophy, I believe.
Well, thank you. I think we need more Americans who will stand up and take charge. And going back to my approach and it being so simple, it's basically twofold. I want to treat the person, not the diagnosis, or as healthcare professionals know it, not the ICD-9 code or the diagnosis code. So I do use Ayurveda. I do use yoga. I do use physical therapy. I also use sound therapy, which could include music therapy or some essential oils and aromatherapy. And then I also look at kind of the exterior redesign of the person, which could include environmental analysis. So that might mean, and I use Chinese medicine by using feng shui and ergonomic assessment. So what does their office look like? I try to prevent office injuries and repetitive stress syndromes from happening from looking at their computer setup, all the way to using feng shui to look at color and element analysis. Because if, as you've heard many probably stories of sick house phenomenon and, you know, what you're surrounded by also influences your health. So it's important not to just look at our inner workings, but our outer workings. And so I do that by kind of looking at interior redesign of the person and exterior redesign so that I treat the whole person and not just their low back pain or their neck pain as they come in the door.
This is your public health speaking.
I often second-guessed myself when I got into PT school. I was pleased to accomplish that feat when I did do that, but then at the same time I wanted to jump the fence and go to public health as well. So I've kind of bridged the both of those.
Now, Ginger, would you tell us about services, products, and how the listeners can reach you?
Sure. Like I said, I'm definitely a big believer in putting myself out of a job. So I offer many ways for healthcare professionals and patients to use my techniques and methods, even without having me there to guide them. One of the ways is by teaching other healthcare professionals. So I've documented all of the methods I use in medical yoga therapy in six different manuals, which is about 1,500 pages. And that's my continuing ed program. So they can find that at professionalyogatherapy.org, professionalyogatherapy.org. So other medical professionals can come and learn my techniques, and then I feel like I can affect healthcare on a larger scale if other healthcare professionals are practicing it as well. I do see patients and teach group therapy classes week after week locally, and they can find that at gingergarner.com.
Mm-hmm.
I also post free low back pain videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
All they have to do is search my name. It's Ginger Garner TV, and I'm posting new ones all the time that they can go and watch those and get clues on how to self-treat their low back pain.
Mm-hmm.
Another method is I do have a DVD that is based on an 18-month case study that I did with a patient who was in severe 30-year chronic pain, which included low back pain, mm-hmm. neck pain, fibromyalgia, and a host of other issues. I worked with her for over a 3-year period that documented an 18-month case study that was published in the International Journal of Yoga Therapy in 2004,
mm-hmm.
and you can find that DVD on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Ancient Yoga, New You, and it's a DVD for anyone in chronic pain, and it's also what's called alignment-based yoga,
mm-hmm.
so that as a physical therapist, that's one of the main things that we do is look at biomechanics of joints and alignment. I basically take the yoga poses and align them properly to rehabilitate different injuries.
Mm-hmm.
The other way they could get in touch with me is I do blog, which includes free yoga sequences for different issues. For example, I did one on insomnia, a 5-day yoga series on insomnia, one on increased energy. And so they can download, and those are all free too.
Mm-hmm.
They can download a lot of different yoga sequences on my blog, which they can get to through gingergarner.com as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the main way
yeah.
that they can get to me is through on Twitter or Facebook and mm-hmm. any of the other ways that I've mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate this, Ginger. It's been very interesting, and I'm sure it will be helpful to the listeners. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Carl.
Mm-hmm. My last guest is Linda Cookson from the west of Ireland, who ran her own clinic for 5 years prior to being forced to change her career in 1992 to that of an artist and writer because of severe back pain. Linda is a certified reflexologist, a Namakoshi Shiatsu therapist, an aromatherapist, and studied iridology, avian healing, and acupuncture. Since changing her career, she has become an accomplished artist and writer, having sold works in the United Kingdom, Ireland, South Africa, Namibia, the United States, Canada, France, Spain, the Dominican Republic, and Malaysia. Her paintings are part of a permanent collection, have been auctioned, and collected throughout Ireland. Her most recent publication is a book titled Tea and Terps, published in 2009, that takes a humorous look at the lives of 12 well-established artists living and working in Ireland. More information is available at www.lindacookson.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Linda, and I look forward to hearing how you treated your back pain.
Thank you.
Now, first, Linda, tell me what happened to your back and what you did for it initially.
Well, I don't even know how it was injured originally. Probably when I was about 20 years old, I slipped in the snow in Scotland, and that probably caused the damage. It only really came to the fore when my two children were just under 10 years old. And driving was a nightmare, sleeping was a nightmare, moving mm-hmm. was just a plain nightmare. And I found I'd get out of the car or stand up from a chair, and I couldn't move for almost a full 2 minutes. I had to kind of rearrange my bones and my nerves before mm-hmm. I could take the first step. It was that bad. In 1990, I was still living in South Africa and had a laminectomy. At that stage, the specialist who did the operation was totally surprised that I was walking at all. He said it was so bad. But I seem to be the type of person who can handle a certain degree of pain. And
mm-hmm.
if you've got to do things, you just got to do things,
right.
you know. You
mm-hmm.
get up and you do them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was a very successful operation. I had a good 11 years, totally pain-free. I can't say that I danced down the street and kicked my legs up like a can-can dancer. I was all that time careful how I moved. Very grateful to be pain-free, but at the same time wary of doing too much twisting or too much strain on the back. Then pretty much 11 years to the day, back came the back pain. Not too bad. It kind of just got worse and worse when I was just aware that my time had run out again, you know. I think the worst problem is I get migraines from the back. That I found very hard, and to this day I haven't yet found a way to handle that with complementary therapies, unfortunately. Although, in saying that, I do visit a chiropractor very often. If I can, I go once a week. And definitely the migraines don't go away completely, but they are very reduced in number when I attend the chiropractor. So, yeah, I do, as well as having prescribed pills, I do use complementary therapy.
What pills do you take, Linda?
They're called, oh gosh, Zomig. Zomig.
And is that
Have you heard of
pain?
Them?
No. Is that a pain medication?
It's something specifically designed for migraines. I don't know much more to tell you about them than that. It's Z-O-M-I-G. And as I say, specifically for migraines. Other than that, I have learned to move so that I reduce the inflammation, although every single day I do experience sciatica down my right leg.
How do you move then?
Well, you know, you kind of get used to it when it's there all the time. I make sure that if I'm sitting down, there's either something I can hold on to reduce the pressure on my knees, because I have arthritis in the back, the knees, the hips, you know, it's kind of like a follow-on. And if I'm sitting down, I get to a certain level, and then the knees decide that's it for them, and they just stop working, and I go plonk down onto the chair. So I do try and hold on to something, or really choose a chair that isn't too low. And if the only chairs that are on offer are low chairs, then I prefer to stand. Although, again, in that position where I can't stand too long and can't sit too long, I'd say 10, 15 minutes of either activity is enough before I have to move, which is one of the reasons I work from home, because it's very difficult to work for somebody else and not either stand all day or sit all day. So I work from home, and that gives me a good balance.
Is there any special movements that you take when you're up?
Well, actual walking is not too bad. I think that my way of walking has changed, and you don't notice it, but you do accommodate your bone structure and the pain, because I can see from the bottoms of my shoes that I actually put more weight onto my left foot than my right foot. So I'm obviously compensating without even realizing it. And the muscles in my right leg are just slightly wasted a wee bit. I think it's about 2 or 3 centimeters thinner than the left leg. So obviously I'm moving differently without realizing it. Getting up, I'll move to the edge of a chair and then push myself up with my hands. If I'm getting up from a lying down position, I'll never just get up. I'll roll over and either use that momentum to get myself up on my hands and knees and then stand up. You know, just keep on rolling and crawling till I can get to some furniture and pull myself up. And hopefully nobody's looking at the time. When you lie down on your back, my knees are always slightly bent. Either that or I have a pillow underneath them.
That's good.
If at times the back is really inflamed and I'm battling to sleep, I'll lie on my side, but I'll put a pillow between my knees. And that too helps to keep the spine in a natural, unpressurized position.
Now, do you use bed pillows?
No, I don't. I just use normal old commercial,
well,
I suppose.
The reason I ask
pillows.
Is I have bed pillows there, or body pillows. They're the full length of my body, and I have one on each side of me. And so when I turn over, I put one knee over the pillow which keeps me more in alignment.
Oh, good idea.
Chiropractor had suggested that.
Yes.
So that might
help.
There
was a stage I made a little nest for myself in bed with pillows, you know, like you say, either side. It wasn't one long one, but it was like a little nest, and I'd sleep in the middle. So whichever way I turned, it was supported. So I suppose it's the same thing.
Right, right, yeah. As long as you got support, that's great. Now, Linda, did you use any other complementary therapies besides the chiropractor?
I use, yes, as an anti-inflammatory. We have the Bioforce remedies. I use Echinoforce, which is echinacea. I find it an excellent anti-inflammatory. So I use that quite a lot. And with the same Bioforce trademark, I use an arthritis remedy. And I find the two of them do help. Devil's Claw.
Oh, yeah, right.
I use that, which helps with the arthritis and in so doing helps with the back pain as well. I have that as a drop, you know, drops, as well as a gel. And my husband's very good. He helps with the massage. If I could, I'd use reflexology and shiatsu. I'm a trained therapist in both those therapies and know that they work well, but unfortunately I live way out in the wilds of Connemara where there aren't any practitioners.
Oh, right, yeah. And you haven't taught your husband how to do this.
No, he's too strong, he hurts. And, of course, I'm working on weight loss because I have an underactive thyroid, which doesn't help. And, unfortunately, the heavier you are, the more the strain on your back.
Oh, right.
So working on weight loss is a constant thing.
Right.
There as well.
And are you taking some of the anti-inflammatory foods that would help you, like fish and seafoods?
Gosh, I didn't know that fish and seafoods are anti-inflammatory, but, yes, I do eat a lot of fish food.
Do you? And the omega-3s, are you taking the fish oil, the
Yes, I take something called Eskimo oil, and the other thing is glucosamine.
Oh, yeah, right, good. Good, well, it sounds like that you're doing what you can do where you are at the moment, right?
Yeah, I do. It doesn't make it go away, but I would prefer to choose the complementary therapies than anything else, and it does most definitely help me to keep it in check.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, once the damage is done, unfortunately, you've done the damage, but you've just got to go into damage control after that,
right.
And for that I use the complementary therapies.
Now, Linda, can you tell us about your book and other services and products you have and how the listeners can reach you?
Well, always reachable, whether it's my paintings. I'm an artist and a writer, so I'm always reachable through my website, which is lindacookson.com. And Linda
could
is spelled with a Y.
That? Yeah, good.
So it's lindacookson.com. And I've recently had a book published called Tea and Tips, and it features 12 artists living and working in Ireland. It's their profiles. When I interview people, I try to get all the funny stories, the anecdotes and the human interest stories out of their lives, as well as presenting their art and their techniques and their philosophies. So I have a very interesting job. I interview at least 12 artists a year, and it's put together in rather a humorous book, which is image rich as well, so lots of images of lovely art, and a very easy reading book called Tea and Tips. So that's available from my website or from Amazon as well. And of course the paintings, which balance out. You see, there you go, my writing is my sitting part of my life, and the painting is the standing part, so that gives me a good balance.
Well, I appreciate your sharing with us, Linda. This has been interesting, and
thank you.
I wish you very well.
Thank you, and to you as well. It's been very interesting talking with you.
Thank you, Linda.
Thanks a lot, Carl. You take care.
I thank you for joining me today, and I invite you to my website, www.holistichealthshow.com. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great day.